kind of just took it on, and we did a lot of memorizing chapter content and, you know, this kind of thing. And it was just learning lots of lists, you know, chapter content of different books and so forth. And that's what I would do. I'd just get a blank piece of paper and I'd just write everything I can remember. All right. I wouldn't get them all, but then I would figure out which ones I missed and flip that piece of paper over and do it again. All right. And hey, you just do that and you keep writing that until you can write it correctly, you know, and then do that again tomorrow, the next day, do it again the next day. Just a few days, you've got it down pat usually. So it's a good thing. It just helps writing it down, helps remembering it. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and go over them. All right. So the 17 periods we memorized last week: before the flood, the scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, the wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christian. So, it looks like the right side has recruited some more folks. So we'll start with y'all. All right. So, I know it'll be a little bit more sketchy because we haven't been practicing it, but we'll do what we can. It's all right. I tell you what, I won't put y'all on. We'll do it all together. All right. We'll blank it out and we'll do it all together. All right. So, before the flood, all right. So I know some of you know this kind of backwards and forwards, but I think there's a lot based on, you know, the hands that raised last time that haven't had the opportunity to go through this. So that's what we're doing. And, it's just a good outline. It's a great outline, in my opinion, of separating, dividing out the content of the Bible in the sections. And then, and what we've just learned here is the first cycle of three cycles. And the first cycle is just learning that list. And remember what we talked about, linking them. It's not just learning that list, but it's remembering what links them from one to the other. So, what is the link from, let's say the flood to scattering of the people? When the flood occurred and the waters came, then the waters receded, what did they do when they got off the boat? All right. And they went into the plains of Mesopotamia and they tried to stay there together. And they didn't scatter. God's plan was and his instruction was to populate the earth. Well, they were staying right there. So God wanted them to scatter. So what did he do? He confused their language, and so they couldn't understand each other, and that pretty much, you know, kind of like, we all speak English. And if you speak something else, you know, you usually congregate with those that you that can understand you and you can understand them. And they just naturally kind of split up that way. All right. So yeah, that's the link. So, from the flood to scattering of people when they settled in the plains of, Mesopotamia, and then they went on. All right. The patriarchs to the Exodus. What's kind of our link there? Who were the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. what's our link going into the next period, the Exodus? All right, Joseph, right? He's not one of the patriarchs, per se, but he's the link because he's the one who got sold off down into Egypt, grew to second in the kingdom down in Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh, and then he brought his family down there. That's how the Israelites got down there, became a people. All right? Yeah, good. So remember these links, and they're on your paper that we gave out last time. So remember those, how you get from one period to the next. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to go into cycle two, into the second cycle. And that is adding a little bit more content into each of these. Now, I don't have these on a slide, so we're just going to go over these, and then I'll hand out some handouts to you after we go over them. But we're just going to add a little bit more content to each of these periods. All right. So the first period being before the flood. So it's everything that happened before the flood. So what things can you think of that happened before the flood? Creation, Adam and Eve was in the garden there. First sin, Cain and Abel, right? All right. And there's one other thing that we can add in there that we usually forget. We usually skip over when we're reading through the Bible because it's like, I don't know how to pronounce any of those. Genealogies, right? Like, I don't know how to pronounce any of these things. So we skim over those. There's a purpose to them, but so the genealogy from Adam to Noah are in there. So that's everything before the flood. Then we have the flood, and what events do we have there? Well, the flood. And that continues until the scattering of the people. Now that's only about, what, four chapters that winds up being. So there's not a whole lot there, but it's a good section to remember to know kind of the what happens all the way through the Bible. So in the period of the flood, we've got the preparations for the flood. We don't include that there, the preparations, the warning, the flood itself. And then after the flood, the waters recede, and they come out and they settle on the plains there. And then we have God establishing a covenant with Noah. And he gave him some laws. All right? And can you think of any of those, what that involved that he made there with Noah and with man? All right, Rainbow Covenant was one of those, that God wouldn't do what he did again. So that was one of them. Yeah. All right, so meat for food, all right, was one of the things that God said. That you can, these animals, the meat is for food for you to use, okay? Don't eat the blood. That started way back then. Don't eat the blood because blood, life is in the blood. And that was a law for man. There was something else. Capital punishment was given during that time. Exactly. So, capital punishment was established way back then. Rainbow covenant, like we said. And then there was one event that happened. Noah, they planted vineyards. They were settled there. And, he became drunk. He got drunk. And the results of that, ended up with Canaan being cursed. So, but anyway, the things that we just want to remember a few of the things. We won't try to put a whole lot of things in that. I probably told you more than you have to remember, you know, this first go around in this cycle. But remember the warning and preparations for the flood itself, right? And God's covenant with man. With Noah. Okay? So those three things. Then we have the scattering of the people. The only event there is the Tower of Babel. and when God confused their language. And then they began spreading out and populating the earth. Okay? So that's through the first three. Before the flood, scattering of the people. All right? Then we go to the patriarchs. We've already talked about that. Abraham, the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob and his 12 sons. One of the last ones being Joseph. He's our link going into Egypt, into the next period, the Exodus. So that's pretty easy with those four names. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Then we go to the Exodus. And where do we find the people? As Joseph's our link in there, what happens? The families down there, they grow and multiply. And we find them in Exodus where? They're in bondage, right? So they're in bondage. And they're trying to stop their growth. You know, they do a few things to try to stop Israel from growing and getting out of hand. With enslaving them, commanding the midwives to kill the babies, and then commanding all the Egyptians to kill the Israelite boys. But if we think about just bondage, and then who comes into who comes on the scene as their savior? Yeah, Moses, right? So we have his birth, and we see him grow up there. And what does he do when he's grown? What is he? He sees the injustice of what's happening to the Israelites, right? So he kills an Egyptian. And do the Israelites accept him, or do they reject him? They don't trust him. So he's just killed an Egyptian. So he's kind of on the outs with the Egyptians. And now the Israelites won't accept him. So he's kind of in a man without a country. So he flees, and where does he go? He goes to Moab. Midian. I think I put Moab in there. I did put Moab on there. Yeah, okay. So he marries Zipporah when he's away. We have the event of the burning of the bush there, right? And then he comes back to Egypt, and he comes back as God's appointed messenger and leader. And so when he comes back, he comes and he talks to Pharaoh to let them go. He refuses. We have the 10 plagues, and the people, as a result of all of that, they leave, they cross the Red Sea, right? And they come to Mount Sinai. Okay? And at Mount Sinai, that's where we'll we also include Kadesh Barnea, where we take the ten spies. So all of that, yeah, at Mount Sinai. In fact, you know, how long do they stay at Mount Sinai when they leave Egypt and they go, and how long do they stay? It's one of those things when I was growing up, I don't know, it was because of my lack of, applying myself. But it was one of those things where it always seemed like at Mount Sinai, they get the law, the golden calf, Moses goes up a second time. They're there for a few weeks, right? Actually, how long were they there? They were there for a whole year, right? Almost about a year. So that was a long time. They were at that Mount Sinai, camped around the base of it for a year. What all things did they do there? Besides the ones I just mentioned that are, you know, kind of pop to your mind. Well, God gave them the law, and it wasn't just the 10 plagues, or the 10 commandments. It wasn't just the 10 commandments, but there was a lot of laws. I mean, read Leviticus. There was a lot of details. And what else did they do there? What was one of the other things that God had them build? The priesthood, he gave them the instructions on the priesthood. They were consecrated. The tabernacle, yeah, God gave them the instructions and what to do with the tabernacle and the worship. So it took a long time to do all that. They had to get all the supplies and everything to build that. So they were there about a year. So anyway, just a throw that in. All right? So, the last thing in this section, and it links us into the next one, is that they go up, they leave Mount Sinai, and they're ready to go up into the land. God's promised them Canaan, right? So they leave, and they go up to Kadesh Barnea, and what do? From there. All right, they send the spies in, kind of get a feel for it, you know, and see what's there and maybe make a plan, but they send them there to go in and spy out the land. They come back with the bad report, right? And at least 10 of them. So what happens as a result of that? God punishes them, doesn't let them go into the land, and for 40 years they're going to have to just wander around. They're not going to be able to go on into the promised land. So they're going to do that for what purpose? Because God has said, that generation didn't trust me enough to go in and take that land. So in 40 years, that generation is going to die off, 20 and above, and then that group. So then we enter wandering in the wilderness, right? Okay. So that's the first thing, you know, is that how that came about with Kadesh Barnea and the spies. What was one of the first, you know, they spent a year there at Mount Sinai, right? And getting the laws and, you know, what God wants them to do and how to worship Him and setting all that up. And here in wandering in the wilderness, in this next section, one of the first things, the stories we read about, is about what? About the worship, and what does a few of them do? They do it wrong. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram is what I'm talking about. So they get strange fire to offer, to bring in, and they didn't do it the way God wanted them to. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's made up about you. Yeah. All right. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were rebelling against God. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their rebellion against the authority that God had set up. Okay. All right. That's the first one. And Aaron's rod bud. So Moses takes the staffs because they're rebelling against authority. Well, who does God chosen? So they put their rods down there, and Aaron's rod buds. God's showing who He's chosen to be the priest. We also have in this section Miriam. She dies. We pass by Edom. They're as they're wandering around still in this time period, they go around, they're going to go through Edom, but Edom objects to them going through their territory, right? So they're not allowed to go through there. So they have to go around, they pass by Edom. We see Aaron's death, we see the defeat of Sihon and Og as they're going up the east side of the think about your map. Mediterranean's over here. Jordan River's running down the middle. And here on the east side, the children of Israel pass by Edom, and they come up and they defeat Sihon and Og on the east side of the Jordan. And then they're getting ready to go into the land. They count. They have the census there. And the census shows what God's purpose was for the wandering in the wilderness, that generation has passed, and it's just the ones who are remaining. All right. We have the story of Balaam. You know, Barak tries to get, they're scared of the Israelites coming in. It's a big army, big, large nation coming in and invading. So he wants the people cursed, and that's the story of Balaam, the donkey, Barak, and so forth. As a result, the children of Israel sin with the Midianites, fornication, and God punishes the Israelites, and several thousand of them are killed. God also takes vengeance on the Midianites themselves as a result of that. And then they're sitting there, they're ready to go in, getting ready to go into the land, and Moses delivers his last speeches to the people, and those are found in Deuteronomy. Balak, what did I say, Barak? Balak? Yeah. Okay. All right. So they cross over the Jordan, and they go into the land, and they camp right in just on the other side of the Jordan, and guess what they're able to do? What have they been eating the whole time in the wilderness? Yeah, they've been wandering for so long, eating the same thing. There were some complaining and mumbling about some of that too, wasn't there? All right. And so they get into the land, and what do they get to do? They get to eat from the produce from the land. All right. So I'm sure that would have been a welcome event. So they cross over. Who's the leader bringing them over? Joshua is, right? So Moses dies there at Mount Nebo. So they go into the land, and we have the next period. After wandering in the wilderness, the next one is invasion and conquest. So invasion and conquest, pretty simple. There's not a whole lot of material, or it's not a big section. So they go into the land, and if you're looking at your map, they cross over the Jordan, and they have a central campaign taking out kind of the central territory. Then they go south to a southern campaign, taking out those, and then they shoot north and take out those nations. So it's central, southern, and then northern campaign, in that order. The land is then divided amongst the tribes, each one given their portion. Remember that there's some that are on their portion they asked for that was going to be on the east side, that call them the Transjordanic tribes, because they're on the, most of the tribes are on the west side, but a few of them wanted to settle on the right, so they're able to do that. And after the land is divided up and they've conquered it, those Transjordanic tribes go home, go back across, and then it's the, sorry? Okay. That the nation promises. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. All right. And so then Joshua, he gives his speeches to the people, and we see him pass on. So after invasion and conquest, they're in the land, they're settled in the land, and what do they have? Peace. All right. Now, they didn't do everything God told them to, but they're at peace. They're not warring. They're not invading and conquering anymore. They're at peace. And as in this peace time, they became what? Might say complacent. And as a result of them not doing everything that God told them to do, what did God tell them to do when they went into this land? Drive out, conquer, destroy all of them. The people, the nations, you get rid of them. Now, the reason God did that is because the people living in that land, He had it up to here with them. All right? Their sin was full, and God was using the Israelites to punish them. All right? So, but the Israelites did not destroy them completely. They left a lot of them. And as a result, during this peacetime, what happened was, you know, neighbors and neighboring nations and so forth, their sons married their daughters married their sons, and began, you know, with their neighbors and so forth, and, you know, relationships and so forth. And the Israelites started doing what? Took on their religion, right? And went into idolatry. Leaving God, who'd done all this for them, left Him and went into idolatry. So So what happens as a result of the idolatry? Well, God punishes them. All right. So peacetime, then they sin, go into idolatry, and God punishes them. And he punishes them by, guess what? Having other nations come in and do the same thing that he was trying to get Israel to do to the ones who were there in the beginning. But these nations would come in, God would have these nations come in and punish them and take them off into bondage and captive, and they would raid and so forth. And the Israelites would be miserable, and they would realize this is all because we're not obeying God, and they would repent, and God would forgive them. And then they would enjoy peace again. Well, this cycle, you might say, kind of continued over and over again through this period of, what is it? The judges. So, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, and then judges. And the judges are the content for this period. You know, just naming the judges, Othniel, Elihu, Shamgar, Deborah, all the way through there. God would send them a leader, a deliverer, someone who would give them the message and try to turn them back. So that goes through the period of the judges. After the last judge, or during the last judge, who is Samuel, what did they ask for? They wanted a king. So that they could be what? Like the nations that they didn't get rid of like they were supposed to. So they wanted a king to be like the nations. So God grants them this, and he sets up a king for them. So we enter into the United Kingdom. So all of Israel settled in this land. They have a king now. And so the United Kingdom is Saul, David, Solomon. All right? The three kings. So that's pretty easy for the United Kingdom. Now, the next period is the divided kingdom. So obviously, it splits. And it's a result of Solomon's death and what happens that transpires with his son Rehoboam. Another man, Jeroboam, comes in. But we don't have to know all that at this point for this cycle. What we do need to know is there's a united kingdom, and then there's a divided kingdom, and it splits into two. It's going to be a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Sound familiar? The northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom keeps the name Israel. The southern kingdom becomes known as Judah because it's the main tribe down there. All right. So we have the divided kingdom. Now, in the north, in Israel, they pretty much have bad king after bad king after bad king, and they have many dynasties. In other words, it was not at all a family, one family or one dynasty running through that whole time. It was just different ones who'd come in, and some of them would kill the one who was there and take over, and it was just a mess, really, with that whole kingdom. So that's the divided kingdom. But in the south, in Judah, it was a single dynasty. In fact, it was the southern kingdom. Judah was ruled by David's family almost exclusively, with just a small interlude from one individual. So it was a single dynasty throughout down in Judah for the period of the divided kingdom. So what's the period after the divided kingdom? Judah alone. So we've got them all together in United Kingdom, then they divide, divided kingdom, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Then what happens? Well, the one in the north goes away, and it leaves Judah alone by itself. Well, it went away because they went off. Remember all those bad kings after bad kings? They just kept leading them off in idolatry, and finally God was finished with them, and he was headed up to there with them, and he had an invading nation come in and take them off into captivity. All right, that was the Assyrians that took them off. So that left Judah alone and by itself, still reigning down in the south. So that's the period of Judah alone. Now, it ruled on its own for a couple of hundred-ish years or so. There was about, if I remember right, eight or so kings that still, that dynasty kept ruling. There was about eight kings or so who kept ruling in Judah for about 200 or so years until 586, when really what was it with Judah? You know, they kept declining and into sin, and God then has another invading nation to come in and take them off into captivity. All right? So you have United Kingdom, then you have the divided kingdom, then you have Judah alone by itself, and then you have them gone, and you have captivity. All right? So a period of captivity. And the captivity, the period of captivity, a couple of names to note are Daniel. Daniel went off into captivity in this one. Ezekiel went off as well. Jerusalem is destroyed in this captivity when Babylon comes in and takes them out. Jerusalem's destroyed. Temple's destroyed. Leaves Jerusalem really bare and not much there during that time. At last, the captivity lasts for 70 years, and that's prophesied. Jeremiah prophesies that during that time. After the captivity, then what happens? There's a return from captivity. Okay? So a lot of the Jews return and come back into the land and possess it again. And Jeremiah prophesies about that. And it wasn't just one single return, but it was different groups would come at different times. There was a few of them. But one of the times, Zerubbabel and Jeshua return. Haggai and Zechariah, they come back to rebuild the temple. Haggai and Zechariah come back, and they encourage them to keep building the temple. So the temple is built. Ezra comes back in a return, and he kind of restores the worship. He kind of purifies the worship. You can imagine them being away in captivity for long, and they come back. Their worship, there were some things wrong that they were doing in their lives. So he straightens some of that out. And then there's another man who comes back from captivity, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, what's his goal and his aim? Put the walls back up around, right? So that was him. And then, you know, we go down to the last prophet, Malachi, during that time. There's lots of prophets and different things going on, but that's just a brief look at it. Now, at the end of the return from captivity, our link going to the next one is sort of Amos, is in the prophet Amos. Amos prophesies in chapter 8, he says, there's going to be a famine. It isn't a normal famine. This is going to be a famine from the word of God. God's not going to reveal anything. He's not going to talk. He's not going to say anything for a period of 400 years. And so that links us into the next period, the years of silence, kind of between the testaments, that period that we refer to. During this time, we don't have a whole lot of biblical information. Daniel prophesied about what would happen during this time period, but we don't have many specifics. But the nuts and bolts of it is remember, who was it that came in and invaded and took out Judah? That was Babylon, right? Well, Daniel prophesied a statue. There was a statue, and this statue had a gold head, had a silver chest, had a bronze torso, and All right. Then the whole Jewish system is changed. There are Jewish sects. There's different divisions in there. And they're all believing and arguing and about different religious things. And going through that years of silence period and looking a little bit of that history will help us understand why that happened, about the revolts and the fights, the wars that the battles that the Jews were trying to get out of the ruling empires, because they were just kind of tossed back and forth from one ruling nation to another. But after the years of silence, it opens up. The silence is broken with an angel that he sends, and the result is John the Baptist. John the Baptist begins ministering and preaching and baptizing, not in the name of Jesus, as somebody pointed out to me. He's preaching a baptism of repentance. I said it wrong last week. I say a lot of things wrong. So far, y'all caught a couple today. So we open up into the life of Christ, right? And in the life of Christ, we've got about, what is it, six or seven divisions there. We've got the years of preparation in Christ's life, the beginning of his ministry, the Galilean ministry. We've got the periods of retirement. Wayne laughs at me. We came up with an acronym for learning these. Periods of retirement, when Jesus kind of goes off by himself. Then the close of his ministry. Then the last week and his resurrection. So there's a little division there, that, and it'll help us, you know, kind of the chronology of Christ's life. After that period, with Christ going back, when he goes back up into heaven, what had to happen? He had to die. He had to go, but he had to leave, he told his apostles, so that who could come? Holy Spirit. And we have the church and the Holy Spirit helping, revealing God's will in the early church. And from the early church, in Acts, we see, we kind of divide that in two at this point. Kind of the work of Peter and the work of Paul. Yeah, it's not a great division, but those kind of the two main characters through Acts. And then from there we see the letters to the Christians. And we see the men writing to these Christians, encouraging them, giving them instruction based on what the Holy Spirit is saying and revealing. This is how to live. This is what to do in your life in the Christian walk. So, all together, one more time. Before the flood, all right, very good. Thank you for your time and attention, and we'll have